I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The prolific author of acclaimed and best-selling novels for young children, young readers, Eric Walters, joins me now. He has just published a new novel, Just Deserts. It's written with Ray Zahab, and it's the story of a 16-year-old boy who has been expelled from school and who finds himself in the Sahara alone. What follows is a 200-kilometer walk across the desert. There are painful blisters and sandstorms and vipers. There is also self-discovery. Ray Zahab is an ultra-marathoner who some years ago crossed the Sahara by foot, which was documented in the film Running the Sahara, a documentary produced by Matt Damon. Eric Walters met Mr. Zahab and also traversed Tunisia last year. We'll get Mr. Walters, who joins me from here in Vancouver, to tell us about the book and more. The website for more is at ericwalters.net. Just Deserts is published by Puffin Canada, which is an imprint of Penguin. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Eric Walters. Good morning, Mr. Walters.
Thank you very much. Good to be on the show.
Thanks for joining us. Where are you at the moment?
Right now I'm on the Horseshoe Bay, getting ready to get on a ferry to go over to Nanaimo.
You live where in Ontario?
Mississauga, just outside of Toronto.
Yeah. The main character in this book, his name is Ethan Chambers. I understand he's not a good kid.
Not a particularly good kid. He's a kid who's been disadvantaged with lots of good things happening. His family is extremely wealthy, and he's always been able to get away with whatever he wanted to get away with.
So he gets in trouble, I understand, by posting something on YouTube?
Yeah, he gets drunk and ends up being filmed on YouTube making fun of the headmaster at the private school where he goes to.
And so Dad doesn't take well to that. And
no, this is his number of schools that he's been kicked out of, so father finally decides to do something different than just find another school for him.
And so he ends up in the desert, right?
Yes, he's dropped off by the corporate jet on a sandpan in the Tunisian desert.
How did you and Ray, this collaboration between the two of you, how did that come about?
One of my neighbors is a marketing person with Canada Goose, and they do a lot of work with Ray's Impossible, the Possible team. And he said, "I know Ray, I know you. You two need to talk." And Ray and I just started talking, and it seemed like a good collaboration for me to go on one of his Impossible, the Possible missions.
Yeah, I've seen him on TV, and he has done this. He has walked across the desert, or run across the desert, right? Is that the
Yeah, he did 70 kilometers a day for 111 days in a row. I suspect Ray's not human.
He doesn't smoke, right? Or he used to smoke.
Used to be a couch potato, but now he's just into these ultra-marathons, and he does things that are almost beyond belief. He snowshoed to the South Pole, for example.
Really, yeah. You went with him across Tunisia last year, right? Is that right?
Yeah, April of last year. I did about 200K in 8 days across the desert by foot.
He ran it, you walked it, did you, or did you run
he
it?
He ran, I walked. There was a number of runners, including four youth ambassadors, two of them from B.C., and what happened is I'd start in the morning before them, they'd point me in the right direction, and then they'd eventually catch me, then I'd catch them, then they'd sleep at lunch, and then I'd pass them.
And
you can't run much farther than normal people other than Ray.
Yeah.
You go 30 or 40K in the desert, that's about all you're good for in a day, and I can do 30 or 40K walking.
So they put you in the right direction. I read, I guess, at the back of the book that you lost one another? Did that happen all the time?
Yeah, I got so far ahead, I lost everybody. So I'm in the middle of the desert. I figure I'd backtrack into my tracks, which had blown in. At that point, I've just got to kind of stand there and wait for them to catch me. A lot of things go through your mind when you're there, like how many liters of water you have, where the vipers are, what you can do, and the whole scene in the book where the young man gets lost in the desert, I wrote that as I was standing there in the desert lost.
Yeah. Well, what does being in the desert alone, what does that teach one? It builds character, obviously, right?
Well, it certainly gives you a good significant part of how insignificant you are. Like when you're out there, when we're in cities, we tend to think of ourselves as being much more important than we actually are. But when you're out in the elements, and we hit a thunderstorm that was the most profound storm I've ever seen in my life. When you're out there with the blazing sun, with nobody, you realize that you're not that significant. You're just one little human being.
And then you realize, I guess, the enormity of it all, but also the environment. You think about that, don't you?
Oh, continually. And what was shocking to me was how much garbage there is in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
Where is it?
The plastic blowing around.
And then that comes from, I guess, the cities, does it? Or?
Yeah, it does. It just blows everywhere.
Yeah.
It would be funny. The other people were running, and I was walking, and I'd say to them, so did you see the garbage, or you see this? And they're so focused on running, they wouldn't see it the same way I'd see it.
Yeah. Is it recommended for everyone to do something that you and Ray did?
I think you got to train a lot. Like Ray is, as I said, Ray is hardly human. He's so incredible at what he can do. For me, I trained by going 30 kilometers a day for 8 months.
And that obviously prepared you, but did it prepare you enough?
My feet turned into hamburger.
Really?
By the time it was over. The sand was just terrible. This past year in April, I climbed up, in June, I climbed Kilimanjaro.
Uh-huh.
And I trained for that the same way. But in both cases, you need to have guides and experts who know what they're doing, people who can guide you along the way.
And I guess those guides make sure that you're safe doing this, right?
They do make sure you're safe, but safety is a relative thing. One of the kids who was with us, Andy, decided to sleep outside one night in the Sahara. We got up the next morning, and the sand viper tracks went right up to where he was sleeping, went around him and right through the camp.
Really?
So you try for safe, but those are the realities. In Kilimanjaro, they have more than 10 deaths every year, even when you're with guides.
I read somewhere that you used to be a teacher. Is that right?
Yeah, I taught for years and years. My first book was written for my class. They used to give me classes like 28 kids, of which 24 were boys. And these were kids that didn't like to read or write. Their favorite subjects were generally like gym, lunch, and recess.
Yeah.
And I started writing for them. So my first book was set in the school with them as characters, with our community as part of the book.
That I guess the writing was born out of a frustration that you saw from your students. Do you still see that today? I mean, I'm 29, and I remember, you know, the way you described school then, elementary school then, it seemed, you know, pretty much what I went through.
Yeah, well, what happens is often the rumors that boys don't read, and of course boys read, the thing is they often read nonfiction instead of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is the fiction they're often introduced to is not good male fiction. Teachers tend to recommend things that they liked when they were younger. And there's a big difference between reading something that a young lady would like and a young man. So it's really important to give young men the right type of fiction, things with action, characters they can identify with. And that's what I try and write.
And that's what we have in this book, right?
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Are we becoming savvier as readers? I mean, and I'm talking about young readers in particular. I mean, we've seen, you know, the famous novel, you know, the J.K. Rowling books. And the
Harry Potter, yeah. Very well-written novels, by the way. Like, she really is a good writer.
Yeah. Do you think that more people are reading now than before, or can we measure that?
They definitely say, they talk a lot about e-books and how e-books are becoming much more popular, they go up to 300% or whatever, and that's right, that's true, but what they're not saying is that books in general are more popular now. People are buying more books than they ever did before. Young people are reading more than they used to before.
Yeah. So you don't teach anymore, is that right?
No, I stopped teaching 5 years ago.
Yeah, and you seem to have a book, something like you have three this season, I read in one of the trades?
Yeah, I have three coming out. This one plus a book called End of Days. It's a science fiction with Doubleday, and a book called Catboy with Orca.
Yeah.
And with Catboy, because I'm involved with kids, we tried something completely new. That book, for 10 Mondays in a row, kids across the Toronto board got 26 pages of it in draft form. They read it from Monday to Friday. On Friday, they emailed me and said, here's what we like, here's what we don't like, here's what we like changed. I then responded to 800 emails a weekend, changed the book, and sent them the next 26 pages. And then we launched it with 4,000 kids.
Really? Yeah.
It's pretty cool when you have 4,000 kids with one of your books and all excited about it.
Yeah, and the feedback that you got from them, I mean, that was obviously useful, right?
Tremendous feedback. They helped me figure out what was right, what was wrong. They shaped characters, gave names to characters, and they gave me the idea for the next book I wrote.
Yeah. What's gratifying for you, the number of books that you sell, or the fact that you have sort of maybe 4,000 children at an opening or whatever, at a launch?
I think they're all pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I love the launches. I love just being with the kids and doing things that get them all excited about the reading process.
You have children of your own?
I do. My oldest is 26. My middle son, Nick, who I climb Kilimanjaro with, is 24, and then I have a baby who's 19.
And did they read your books growing up?
They read many of them, but always my role was to be their parent, not to be an author for them.
Yeah.
They'd read some of my basic books.
Is there a special challenge in writing for a younger audience?
I think that you've got to respect who they are. Sometimes people seem to, especially when you have a celebrity writing a book, they're rather patronizing to kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I see kids as being very intelligent, much more intelligent now than I was, much more discerning. And you'd mentioned that, a reader's more discerning. They're more discerning now than they used to be.
What accounts for that, do you think? Is that because they've read a lot, or is that, do you think, the other medium, like television and the sort, has that contributed to it, perhaps?
I think it's a combination of events. Part of what it is the school system here, and I travel around the world, we have an incredibly good school system in North America that encourages people to become thinkers, to be problem solvers, to be critical observers of life. And I think they are critical observers of books. They know what's right, what's legitimate. And the things they're interested in. I've written books about the Rwanda genocide, 9/11, street kids, sexual abuse. These kids want to know what's really happening.
I mentioned that you're a prolific writer. You mentioned some of the books that you've written about. How many books has there been?
I've written 79 books. With these three out, that'll be 70 on the shelf.
Wow.
And then 8 more coming up in the next couple of years.
Yeah. And so you obviously have a book going, you're writing a book all the time?
I'm continually writing.
Yeah. You do that.
This summer, the Kilimanjaro book is the one I finished recently, mm-hmm. about a kid whose grandfather dies, and he requests that the kid take his ashes to the top of Kilimanjaro.
Do you write on a computer?
If I have a choice, I'll write on a computer. But through the desert, my computer kind of bogged down on me. During a sandstorm, I lost a number of letters and capitals and quotations, so I was writing by hand. And climbing Kilimanjaro, you don't want the weight of a computer with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was writing by hand on the mountain.
Yeah. Back to going through Tunisia last year, you mentioned the sand. Do you have a mask on? How do you prevent that from getting into you?
You have a bandana you pull down over your mouth. You have thick glasses on. One of the kids, Connors, wore his ski goggles, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but it still it finds a way, doesn't it? Like it does in your shoes or whatever, right?
In the shoes, in our tent, we were in special desert tents with these, special screens and everything that's supposed to stop sand from going in. We still had 3 inches of sand in our tent in the morning.
Yeah. Did you always want to write growing up?
Well, it wasn't something I thought about. I had a teacher in grade 5 who said she thought I could be a writer when I grew up, which I thought was pretty stupid since I was going to be in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I liked writing. That teacher remains somebody in my life. And my wife and I, we run a whole children's program in Africa, in Kenya. We've got about 400 orphans in the program. We just built the first library in the whole district and named it after my grade 5 teacher who told me I could be a writer when I grew up.
Yeah. And so you mentioned you keep in touch with them. That must be really cool for you, but also for the teacher themselves that they have had this impact.
I think it's special for both of us. And what's really nice is because I'm so visible on the web, I have kids who I've taught all the time come back and email me or call. And it's really neat to know that you've had an impact on somebody's life.
Do some of your readers send you some of their own writing?
Sometimes they do. I'll look at small samples of kids' writing. But I always say to them, you've got to follow this through with your teachers and through people that you know. I'm not really an editor. I'm a writer. I've had a number of people now who have written books who I've gotten to know through things who have come back to me years later and said, you gave me the feedback or the information I needed. My book is published. Here's a copy for you.
That must be great, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you said you saw some of the writing. Are kids nowadays, are they good writers?
I think there's a number of very good writers out there. Yeah. Again, more sophisticated than we used to be.
Yeah. You mentioned that you spend time in Africa as well. How much time do you spend there?
Oh, I'm there every summer. Yeah. We run this whole program. There's we're just building our second orphanage, and we have a third one that we help support. But most of the kids we try and support living with their grandparents. This last year, we had over 100 schools involved across the country, and we made a couple of commitments to schools. Every single penny that comes from a kid, every penny that comes from a school, goes directly to service. And through our website, we actually show line by line, dollar by dollar, item by item, school by school, how we spend their money.
Yeah. And
we think transparency is important.
Absolutely, yeah. In you built this library there.
Yep.
Do you find that the kids over there want to read, want to learn?
The use of the library has been unbelievable, how people have flocked to that library from that school and that community. And the school where we built the library, it's attached to the school. It's a community library. That's the school where 23 of our orphans go from our residents. And that school has now become the fourth best scoring school in all of Mabuni District.
Really?
And that library has a big impact on that.
Yeah. Eric, it's been a pleasure having you on the program, and you've made me want to read this book, so I will be picking it up this weekend and reading it. Congratulations.
That'd be fantastic.
Congratulations on it. Good luck with it.
Thank you very much. Good talking to you.
Thanks. The website for more, ericwalters.net. The book is called Just Deserts. It's published by Puffin. Eric Walters, who wrote it with Ray Zahab, on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plato.